I've worked with God for a little while. Mostly through my Christian life till this day, I've been a prayerful believer. Mostly. Hallelujah. There were several times in the midst of ardent prayerfulness that I missed seasons in God. But it must be known that the race is not to the swift and the battle not to the strong. That which comes to pass upon the face of the earth that is God-induced and God-ordained must be accomplished by grace, and God is not willing to bestow grace just any time. Grace is bestowed consistent with the purposes and the timings of God. But it happens to be that God does not dwell in a time-based reality. But in order for his purposes to come to pass, there is an allotted time that he has chosen by his glory to implement his policies. And so the Bible reveals that for every purpose under heaven, there is a time allotment. It's just like when you go to the farm and you cast grains of maize in the air. You are casting it with hope. But the time will come where you'll be able to get the result of your endeavors in a particular season, harvest time. Hallelujah. You're actually behaving like God. You see, God, before he does anything, it is in his nature for him to speak about. I don't know why he does that, but he normally makes a proclamation of his intentions. He speaks about it. If you want to do agriculture, you need to plant something. Your planting is an encapsulation of your intention and how that you want to take advantage of the potentials that are in the soil and all of that, in keeping with an expectation that you have in mind. So God speaks about his plans. Now, the way God is, because he's not in the physical realm for us to touch physically and to perceive with our natural senses, there is an operation. There is a way he operates that we need to be acquainted with. I'm trying to tell a story, but I'm looking for the right scriptures to communicate my story in order to interpret the season in which we are in. One of the assignments of a prophet is to consistently interpret the seasons that believers find themselves. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar, where there were men that understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. You see, an understanding of the times is what reveals what is most strategic, what action is most strategic. You can be involved in an action that is inconsistent with the time, and you are a believer that is praying. We are going to miss out on performance. Meanwhile, the promise is, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be what? A performance. You know, when God speaks, he doesn't lie. There shall be a performance of the things that have been told her. Doesn't lie. Hallelujah. That means one way or the other, God will achieve a performance. But you must understand that when God speaks, he doesn't speak with men in view. And so his words are constant, but the men that implement it can change. Dependent on how aligned we are, that is what will determine whether we are the vessels that receive the grace that empowers us to perform. Hallelujah. So I've seen a lot of people that have missed out on a lot of things just because they do not understand God's implementation policy. Amen. I say amen. Amen. So many scriptures came to my mind when we prayed, indicative of the fact that there were several pathways for this evening. But I pressed further to find out what exactly. Yes, there are options, and if I use any of the pathways, I will not be wrong. So I say, ask the Holy Ghost, if you were me, where will you follow? And he led me here. Hey. Acts chapter 2 verse 6, the Bible says, Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled. Acts chapter 2, verse 7 now. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man his own tongue wherein we were born. The Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. That's a mixed emotion. Amazed and in doubt. Saying one to another, what meanest this? At some point it will come to that. That's why you need a prophet. Saying what? There were mixed emotions. What were the emotions? They were both amazed, but yet there was a funnel of doubt that was in the basement of the amazement. So they cried out. And those mixed emotions were indications of the fact that there is a higher meaning to this event of which we are totally disconnected from wisdom about. So they had to petition their perspective by presenting a question. What meanest? What? So you need a prophet at that point. Meanwhile, this was a day of performance. Because by the time we go into the book, read a few verses downwards, which is what I intend us to do, you will find out that when Peter stood up to give perspective about what was happening, because the general consensus was that the guys were drunk. Before he entered into the prophetic and brought perspective like a son of Issachar, he first of all told them how that it was impossible for a man to be drunk by 6 a.m. in the morning. It was not customary of men. Even though men are drunkards, but it has not been told that men will fall on wine as early as 6 a.m. and must have gulped in enough of the liquor to arrive at drunkenness by 6 a.m. It's not even logical. So he began by logic. But you know what they needed was more than logic. He had confounded their argument that said that these guys were drunk. He was able to do that with just logic. But the question still remained, what exactly is it? Now we are convinced that they are not drunk. But what is happening? Now it's possible, and meanwhile this was a deluge of the grace of God in action. A deluge of the grace of God was a manifestation. But yet the meaning of what was taking place was not revealed. It is possible for you to come into a season where God has decided to be merciful, to be gracious. And then you are like a spectator, like these guys, trying to find out what the meaning is. Not because you have not been consistent with God, it's just that you have no understanding of the season and you cannot plug into what God is doing. And I've said that I, mostly in my Christian life, I've been a prayerful believer, mostly. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that there are not times where you have breaking transmissions. But on the average, I've been a prayerful believer. And the last time I checked, I'm more than 30 years old in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so at least, I think I've paid a price to say some things in the body of Christ. Amen. You know, when I said I'm more than 30 years old, some people looked at my hair. It's a walk of dye, just in case you are not aware. Because, you know, you don't need it white at this time. Glory to God. Now, you see, something great was happening. Even unbelievers knew that God was at work. When their confusion, it was their doubt that provided the atmosphere for the devil to suggest that there was drunkenness in the matter, to trivialize it. And the people did not need a prophecy to counteract that position. They said, we know that people drink, but in the history of men, for a man to be drunk this early, It will mean an altar. An altar is at work. Hallelujah. So that was overpassed, but perspective had to be given. If you don't have perspective about seasons when God decides to bestow so much of his grace, you are likely to miss out. And every time God moves, it's needful for you to understand this. Because you're talking about the fact that if you go to the village, there's no house for you to, and you are trusting God. Let me tell you how God works. Your desires are accurate. Your expectations are wonderful. Your prayers are in line. Your desires have been acknowledged. But you see, this is how God works. See, the Spirit of God normally goes in the direction of the purpose of God. The grace of God goes in the direction of the counsel of God. Is that clear? And resources go in the direction of the Spirit of God. You didn't hear that. I will show you from the Bible. Financial and material resources, they go where? In the direction of the Spirit of God. You can have this intention, this desire, and you are praying it. That's not all you need. You need to also understand the seasons of God. It's when we are plugged into the seasons of God and we are instruments to fulfill the counsel of God that God desperately wants to administer, that material and financial resources navigate in our direction. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's the only orientation you can sustain, that material and financial resources will not be a distraction to you. The greatest distraction that exists upon the face of the earth is anything that has the power of commerce. In fact, that personality called Lucifer, are you with me? You're not with me. Well, I don't have time today to talk about kingdom economics to show you that our problems multiply the day money evolved. But I will not go deeper into that. And that's why there's elaborate dimensions of dealings, positioning, perspectives, and alignments that takes place before God begins to release kingdom funds. Because the covenant of Abraham guarantees provision. But we need to study the life of Abraham more critically to understand the kind of life he lived, that money was not an opposition to him. Money actually established the counsel that God had for his life. Have you not seen an example of anybody that was more focused on the things of God when there was no money? And then when money came, till today we have not been able to track them till now. You are not with me. You have never seen, so let's leave that. The Spirit of God always goes in the direction of the purposes of God. So you need a prophet to tell you what purpose God is accomplishing now that he has decided to unleash his Spirit in this measure. And if you are part of that purpose, there are a lot of packages that accompany that avalanche of God. And you are set up by the reason of the flood of the Spirit that comes and the attendant accompaniments that follow. Notice that when Jesus was born, it was a great manifestation of the grace and the mercy of God. That event that took place upon the face of the earth pulled people out of Arabia. The gifts that sponsored his early life came from, it doesn't need to be in the same city with you. It was international. His arrival and the grace and the Spirit that walked on the earth in order to bring about the delivery of Jesus. It echoed in Arabia, and that was where gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that's where it came from to support his early life. Every time God sovereignly begins to walk by his grace upon the face of the earth, resources are called from different parts of the world to support what God is doing. And if you are in that crucible of God's performance, then your material needs and all the other needs. Don't think if we miss out on our hope of being what we desire on earth is tied to the fact that it's tied to our ability to administer the revival that is coming.
I know many people that were in the heart of the moves of God in their time, and when they veered off from that move, it was as if the entire world turned their face from them. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Where the spirit goes, the resources go. If you are wise, you will stick to the Holy Ghost. He will fund you. He will support you. He has a time frame which is not your own time frame, because he doesn't live in time. He doesn't dwell in time. But his purposes are captured within several times that are determined by the glory and the sovereignty of God. And if by any means you find yourself within that context, what you need to fulfill God's will navigate in your direction. The avalanche of God is so intense that it shakes the spirit realm and it shakes the natural realm too. There are relocations, there are adjustments, people die. Amen. A lot of that happens in the natural just because God is moving. People become sick, they travel out, they can't come back. They are held up in London. When you begin to see, glory, amen. When strange things like that begin to take place, then we need to ask the question these guys are asking here. And what exactly is the question here? What meanness did? May the Lord give you understanding. I've seen it before. Someone in the heart of the move of God, right there on the field of evangelism. When you watch his video clips, and you always see his hand like this. Jesus, it was as if the whole world was gathered to him. There was nothing he wanted that was not available. And the day he missed out of that grand program of God that made God to begin to pour out grace. All right? They put him aside. He's still alive. Oh. But all the limitations of human life have besieged him. Because resources go in the direction of the Spirit of God. Now, so a son of Isaac, we have to rise and give perspective so that the people of God can be led into their destiny. That's how it works. And that's why the Bible says where there is no vision, if there is no prophet to bring perspective, the people will walk in darkness. People will walk in darkness. They will not understand how to align with seasons. And their life on earth will waste, just like Methuselah, after 969 years, just gave birth to sons and daughters. Never struck a chord in the spirit. So the time he spent on the earth did not translate to purpose. Are you still with me? You are not here. All right. So, what was Peter's interpretation? Meanwhile, Joel has spoken about this, that there was a time that was going to come that the Spirit of God would be poured upon all flesh. And he told us a reaction that would take place among humankind when that happens. And this was the time of manifestation. All right? And it was already happening. And the provision that Joel gave was that this thing will affect all flesh. All flesh. So even the guys asking questions were already factored into the equation. But they were not in the equation because they did not understand what was happening. So they did not know how to respond to the grace of God that was intended to affect all of humankind. And I've seen things like that take place. I remember when we were on campus, we had a prayer group, very small prayer group. See, God has no restraint, either to win with many or to conquer with few. Maybe sometimes you come here and you find out that there are only 25 people praying. And then you say, "Kai, this is not serious enough for me to be part of." You don't even know the way God works. You know, in a few months from now, so many people will want to. You know, human beings, there's a way they are. We started on campus, we're like 8 people that were consistent. Sometimes we were 40, sometimes we were 25. But we're just 8 guys that were consistent. Asking God to give us perspective so that this school we are doing is. So many people have read the courses we are reading. If these courses that we are reading can change our nation, we should have been hearing of some changes by now. So we went to God and said, "Wait, what are you doing? Let's know what you are doing. We want to be part of what you are doing. We have seen what men do, and it's not lucrative. What are you doing? And we began to ask God. We began to ask God that question. And then it came to pass that the Lord now spoke. He now said, I'm going to bring a revival to your city. But the revival I'm going to bring to your city, because you have tarried with me for long, I will give you a mock revival while you guys are on campus, so that you know what revival looks like. Because you have been talking revival. None of you even knows what it looks like. So I'll give you a mock revival. While we were in 300 level, something broke out in the spirit. That was the time you don't need to preach to anybody before they give their life to Christ. They'll come to you and say they are tired. I led many courtesies to Christ. In fact, I was the Holy Ghost bartender. Because when you are led to Christ, I have a block, a place, a spot on campus where men come to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we served the wine, the drink that was drink indeed. And all kinds of people, all kinds of customers. Those days, when I come to the pump, you know, it's a long line. Anytime you come, you don't even know where the first person, whether he slept at all. There are always guys on the line. When I come to the pump, people just say, no, the pastor has come. What an honor. Because I serve the Holy Ghost. Revival broke out. That was where the snooker board, things like stopover were closed down. Things like, what do they call that place? Coke Village. Those were called hangouts. It was no longer lucrative because something else was happening in town. It was during that revival that the Lord now spoke again. But by the time he spoke, out of eight of us that were consistent, about five of us had gone political. We could not handle the weight of what was happening. So only three people were in the spotlight. Hallelujah. Because there were supposed to be successive instructions as to how to manage what God was doing. Yes, we're not experienced. We didn't know how God wanted to do what he wanted to do. But the call was that we should remain in God's presence. Just remain there, and then you get an instruction for the day, an instruction for the day, an instruction for the day. All right? And we kept doing that. We kept doing that. And some of us had to come back to do extra year. The reason why we came back was because we missed a lot of steps. And God now said, okay, you guys can't go now. You can't go now. You stay back. And then he moved some people to fail us in some courses so that we can come back and continue what we started. In the natural, you might look at us and say, you too. You had extra year. No, don't worry about it. There's something that's happening. And it was during that extra year, the Lord now said that I'm going to give you something that the guys that graduated before you will not have. Then I discovered what determines what happens in the future is dependent upon what God gives you. It's not what, when you run out, what do you have in your hand? So I'll give you something. It was after God said, I'll give you something, that I begin to minister to people, they begin to fall. In fact, the first time it happened, I almost ran off. God, I remember in our prayer group, there was this sister that she normally she covers her hair with her head tie. It's an abomination for any part of her hair to be exposed while we are praying. And that day, the power of God hit her, and then she fell down, and then the head tie exposed some of the hair. So I felt something strange would happen. So I wanted to help her cover it quickly. And while I attempted that, the power took her somewhere else. And I could not help myself, and she could not be helped. It was a strange moment. And then there was a point that the revival got to. What God began to do, it began to fill men with power. At first, it started, people would just come to you. If they know you are a Christian and you are bold about it, you are everywhere about, you are crazy about Jesus, you become the address of God. They'll come to you and want to be led to Christ. When we lead the person to Christ, we'll refer the person to a spot, because we are colonized a spot where the person can come and drink the drink that is drinking indeed. Hallelujah. We serve those drinks and people get high in the spirit. So the prayer lines and the prayer ranks began to increase, and you find strange people in prayer meetings. Strange people that will never go to church, they were there, humbled by the Holy Ghost. Their hearts had surrendered to God. We were still trying to discern the season. And many people took off like tornadoes and started ministry. Open branches, churches, all kinds of stuff, and that thing that they took there dried up. So those of us that were privileged came back for extra year to still manage the matter. By the time we got back, the devil knew what was happening, and they planted some things on campus to distract. In fact, that was when I got introduced to spiritual warfare, fighting to restore that which God had released. But God said it will be a mock revival, it will not last for too long. Then it became warfare. Then God now decided to do something. That revival that was everywhere, he decided to trap it in the spirits of men. He will unveil it again in the future, but he will trap it in the spirits of men. And then take them through. You know, most of you understand baptism in the Holy Ghost. But most of you don't understand baptism in fire. You know what the Bible says? He will baptize you with what? Before you go through the baptism in fire, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost first. And you need to have walked with God enough to love him. When you are now loved God, then he will now take you through affliction. In order to consolidate your faith. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean terrible affliction. He will take you through affliction. Sometimes it's abject poverty. So that you can learn the lesson. He will try your heart whether you follow him or not. If you follow him in spite of your affliction, it means if the devil comes and tries to manipulate you, it will be difficult for him to succeed because you went through the furnace of affliction. The reason why you are following God is because he's worthy, not because he has anything, something he wants to give. So your motives are tried in the furnace of affliction. Your intentions are tried. You know, the faith movement failed to deliver something that is part of the gospel. We are not just called to reign with Jesus, we are also called to suffer with him. Because in order for him to achieve the glory that he walks in now, he had to suffer. And that's the destiny of every. We are implicated by that, by the way he authored our salvation. Are you still with me? We are all implicated. And so the faith guy wants us to make us believe that anytime things are not going the way they should go, then there are either sin issues or there are faithlessness issues. And I tell you the truth, I was high in faith, basking in glory, but the affliction was much. The affliction was much. You know, the environment I was staying, and God will not have me leave the place. I had a choice to leave the place, but he will not have me do so. A place where people were antagonistic to my prayer. They were antagonistic to my life. They were trying to suppress me by all means. And I was directed by God not to respond, not to fight back, not to strike back, but to accept. Oh my God. It was like cloning. It was like death. It was like dying. When you die to every tendency of revenge, you die to every possibility of striking back, where you look at people from another eye view whatsoever. All right? You look at them from God's eye view. Sometimes it's crazy. When somebody comes and tries to strike, but you are not allowed to strike back. And all things like that. It was a furnace of affliction to test the heart, to see whether we'll follow him or not. And that was the reason why the children of Israel had to follow the route that they followed. There were other routes that would have taken them to Canaan faster. But God decided that they will follow a particular route that it took them 40 years to arrive at destination. Reason was because they were going through the furnace of affliction. That was where a particular generation had to die because God was not their unique goal. A man that is going through the furnace of affliction is likely to become totally discouraged, and his soul is likely to crack if he doesn't hold God as his unique goal. It's a baptism of fire. And just like you could not control the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you cannot control, you don't have authority over the baptism of fire. There is no Christian that becomes a genuine leader in the house of God that is not subjected to the baptism of fire. If your pastor has not gone through that kind of training, he should not be a pastor over you. Because he is still susceptible to human tendencies that will be exploited by the devil to manipulate your destiny. I've seen all kinds of things happen in Lagos in the name of ministry. In fact, I had to tell somebody to leave a church, one church in Lagos today. I said, leave that church. One of my disciples. Leave there now. People trade with the souls of men, trade with the lives of men. They trade with the destinies of men. Oh my God, when you go to the furnace of affliction and you come out, you'll be pure, your heart will be right. And when evil tendencies are cropping up inside of you, you'll be able to discern it. All of this was in keeping with the time that God said he would come to visit. All of this. Now, what exactly did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? He said, this is what? Is that which the prophet Joel speak. First of all, that is what we call the ability to discern the times. To discern the times. Your message will not be accurate if you have not discerned the times. You will not know what to say to the congregation that will be consistent with the present revelation position of the Spirit. Discerning the times. That is what will make your voice the voice, the prophetic voice. Like the voice of one. Just as John the Baptist was called the voice of one. You become the voice of one in our time. If you know how to discern the time. Not just opening the Bible and preaching. The utterance that came was consistent with an understanding of a season in God. He said, this is what? Is that which Prophet Joel said. Then he made his presentation. And the foundation of his presentation was an understanding of the time. Now, when you begin to graduate from that baptism in fire, hallelujah, your priorities, your motivation, your orientation is healed. Then it is after that you can be a true agent of change. First of all, no, let me not take you back. It will take us too long to come here. This is that which the prophet Joel spake. So an understanding of the time was the foundation of every delivery that he made on the day of Pentecost. All right. Now that's the first point, is to understand the time. So understand the time. And I need to tell us now that in this current time, in my visions that have been consistent, God wants to begin to visit northern Nigeria. And when I talk about northern Nigeria, I'm saying everything from the east up. He wants to visit northern Nigeria. Anything from the east. Oh. The new sets of leaders in the body of Christ are going to come from this bracket. Oh. And God wants to begin to fulfill. I was so privileged. Somebody, I don't know the person, began to send me some messages. There were like 7 of them. And he said, Pastor, these are the few of Pa Elton's message I was able to get in this format. I thought you will need them. And when I began to listen to the first message, I saw that if this nation ever had a prophet, that was the prophet of Nigeria. His words are evergreen. And I saw that whereas China today is a kingpin in technology. India is a kingpin in medicine. The United Kingdom is known for education. And Nigeria will be known for revival. I heard his message and I understood clearly what God was saying. But you see, the difference between that time and now, God proclaimed it that time. He wants to begin to fulfill it now. Now, if you don't understand the time, what you are going to be doing will be wrong, will be inconsistent, incongruous with what God is doing. And the grace of God goes in the direction of the purpose of God. The Spirit of God goes in the direction of the counsel of God. And resources go in the direction of the Spirit of God. Is anything the Spirit is doing, resources will be compelled from the four winds of the earth to align with that which the Spirit is doing. So that he's doing it overhead, there will be capacity on ground to deploy resources to bring to pass that which God wants to do. It's in that context that our personal needs are met. Are you with me? God has no plan for your personal need. No separate plan for your personal need. Your personal need is captured within territorial needs, generational needs that God wants to meet. All right? And the way he does meet generational needs is that he brings to pass purposes that he has spoken about previously. And these purposes transcend your own little life, your own little family. It transcends that. But when you are in alignment with that which God is performing, the resources to bring it to pass to begin to navigate in your direction It's in that context that personal needs are met, family needs are met, all kinds of needs are met, because God wants to carry out, implement a holistic program. He will not single you out from the crowd and walk on your own line. He did that to Abraham because Abraham is the father of all them that believe. Are you with me? Yes. Abraham is the father of all them that believe. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is the practice and procedure of the friend of God. Abraham is the father of many nations. Hallelujah. And so there were several definite things that God did, pulled him out of his context and began to walk on his life to develop a pattern that he will use on many other generations that plug into him by the same example of the faith of Abraham. Are you still with me? So the first thing that this guy designed was an understanding of the time. You cannot advance beyond the understanding of the time. Ministry is prophetic in nature. If you don't have a prophet that knows how to peep into time, he's not leading anybody anywhere. Because where there is no vision, the people, they perish. A translation says, where there is no vision, the people walk in darkness. Understanding the time. That's when we know what is the accurate response to the seasons in God that we have found ourselves. But because God doesn't walk with time, he doesn't necessarily need to walk with the kind of calendar that we have. We need to now understand the seasons in God. Seasons in God are determined by the emphasis of the Spirit per time. The ability to design that puts you on the cutting edge. Makes your voice the voice of one. And if God wants to exalt you, what he does is that he brings influence on your life. Influence. Influence. Influence is God's initiative to raise a man. And there is no other way that God brings influence on a man than releasing higher measures of his spirit upon him. In order for a man to rise, it's a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. I've seen somebody in Lagos, the person had the first degree in Oxford University, had second degree, MBA, read business studies in Oxford, first degree, first class, MBA in Cambridge University. And the person was jobless in Lagos. Am I saying school is not good? The school is good. Like my wife's people, they are all of them. In fact, they'll call my wife and say, you don't have PhD yet. I had to fight to stop those calls. All of you that have PhD, we don't want to be like you. All of you that have PhD. You are not doing masters. Education from my own parts of the country is like a religion. In fact, you boast that, you know, we had PhD by in the 80s, 1980. That's when we got, you know. Just in case you are a PhD holder, they now tell you, we now fragment it, calibrate it. Mine was in the 80s. Those are the golden PhDs, the real ones. Our researchers are still providing, you know, solutions to national problems, and all kinds of stuff. But your own research, where is it? In what lab? Where did it? You will waste your time doing PhD. All right? If that's not what God has said concerning you, consistent with what the season is bringing. Nothing happens until God brings a season. A season comes, and then possibilities begin to abound. And the way those possibilities abound is that God bestows grace. And if God wants to make an influential person, what he does is that he releases. There are dimensions of grace. I have experienced it before, and it's almost part of my life now, that will open your brain, open your capacity to understand. I mean, on every subject whatsoever. If it's law, if it's engineering, thermodynamics, there are dimensions. If God wants to raise an influential man, he bestows grace upon him. That's why those guys that do wait and take in church, you know, they just come when there's activity, when there's something you like, there's likelihood of you getting healed. Somebody, you will see something spectacular. Those people are part of a cinema. The real guys doing business with God, they know what it takes. They know what it takes to come and speak for God. You see, it's one of the most difficult things to come out and speak for God. Hallelujah. And so God begins to raise his people by making them influential on the account of the density of the spirit that he places upon them. All those things begin to take place. But you see, the first thing I said that they were able to discover was an understanding of the time. Second thing that, this is one that produces physical results. Now the problem with the revival we had on campus was we did not tarry with God long enough to receive an instruction on how to handle it. See, moves of God are actually commitments that God hands over to several people. Because the idea of handing over a move to you is so that you can manage it, administer it, and what? And see it spread across the body of Christ. There were many things we did now that we did not know then. Hallelujah. So we did not wait long enough to receive an instruction from God as to how to manage the move. And as long as that move dies, every other hope dies along. Now, our general overseer at those days, for those of you that were new anointing, it was God decided to pitch his tent there after a long while. There was grace. There was grace. The man of God was a man that was graced. God had favored him. Hallelujah. And his heart was so tender that when he begins to preach, he can kneel down and start crying. Just crying like that. Just crying like that. He was a weeping evangelist. And after crying for like 45 minutes, when he rises up, it's you that we cry now. Oh my God. He was a unique creature. A unique creature. And you see, and just like it is in the body of Christ, when somebody rises like that, people want to come around him because there's a lot of influence that comes. The government will want to see you. They want to give you lands. They want to travel with you. They want to invite you for prayers. When they are doing, you see, if God wants to raise a man, what he does is that he makes him have influence. The way he does that is that he pours his spirit. And the pastors there were not committed to ensuring that this man stays alive. You see, in the day of David, when David was the king, they advised him at one point, they said, see, you won't go to battle again. Lest, what? The light of Israel be snuffed out. It's because you are alive that we are still... Everything happening around is just because the lamp of Israel is still burning. So they knew that much. But in that move, they did not know. The pastors didn't know that. And when the devil came and the devil struck that man, the entire civilization around that grace died. Why did the resources stop? The resources always go in the direction of what? Of the spirit. Some of you were there. The resources were flowing. The moment that man was taken out, what was on ground could not be sustained for 2 months. Began to dry up. Because the covenant that was responsible for retaining the concentration of the Spirit of God there was nobody that knew how to operate it. There was one man, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it well. You know, if we want to go and marry in Igbo land, they will ask if the person is what? Osu. The one man, the man was Osu. He was in charge of the... He was the Izemo. His descendants were to service the oracle. So he knew how to interact with the spirit so much and how to appease them so much. And he had trained other people to continue. So the person that bought him, released him. Go and look for your people. Alright? So when he came, he traced his people and found out that he was an Idoma man. And he even traced his village. And when he got back home, they hated him. But that was not, it was inconsequential. Because when he set up the coordinates of the altar, in about 5 years' time, he began to control the whole place. You don't need to like him. He has what it takes to make things happen. In fact, he even contested for Ochidoma. And he lost. And when he lost the contest, it's his son now that is Ochidoma. The man was very skillful in appeasing the spirits until he died. Till today, there's nobody that knows how to appease those spirits. So when the spirits come, like seven people can die at once. But meanwhile, when he was alive, he knows how to, what to give. Sometimes he'll go and buy a horse from the north and tie it and invite the spirits to feast on the horse. He held the horse. In the next 3 days, it's already dry. And he dies. And then the spirits will go back. But the people don't know how to operate it. So there's disaster. There was a man that was raised here in this town. Alright? The people around him did not know how to operate the realms. And it's those realms that they had power in that was responsible for the resources coming down. The resources will always go in the direction. It's your prayer point that is making me to say what I'm saying. It will go in the direction of what? Of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will only stay if there is a covenant that traps him down. A covenant of sacrifice that traps him down. If not, he will go. If there's no sacrifice, he will go. That's how the spirit realm is. He responds to sacrifice. Some of you can eat. I've been trying to eat. After that fast, I've been trying to regain my eating. Till now, it's not possible. And sometimes I go the whole year like this. And maybe by next year, that's when I'll regain my eating. Hallelujah. You have time to lust after a woman. Have time to enter, to pamper the lust, pamper it. Some of us don't even have that. We can't lust again. The system is dry. It's dry off. Hallelujah. You will live like a pilgrim. Because in order for you to serve is the covenant that keeps a spirit on ground. Hallelujah. Now, if you are not ready for this, don't attempt ministry. Because God will keep taking from you until there's nothing left. It is when there's nothing left that you can cry and heaven will come into the earth and change a matter. It takes a covenant to keep the spirit. Are you with me? And resources will always go in the direction where the spirit is going. Don't forget that. Don't come and try. I've heard people give testimonies about breakthroughs. Most of them are lies. Most of them are lies. If somebody that is not consistent to God is coming to give testimony about breakthrough. In fact, if you have one, even if you steal 1 billion, if you steal it, are you with me? If you steal it, you cannot keep it that you will not be known. In the spirit, you will die after 1 month. Oh my, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You can't stay alive. What will, hey, there are levels of influence, just like politics. You now become local government chairman. Whether you like it or not, you have entered into a realm of warfare, whether you like it or not. Anything that will give you control over many people, influence over many people. Influence is the currency that the spirit realm acknowledges. So if you rigged to become local government chairman, the implication is that you now have influence. You will meet evil spirits in the night that you did not call. And after 3 months, it is likely that that person that you claimed that was a Christian will be visiting on task in order to fortify himself. Because the space is treacherous. Most times we can't retain grace. Most times we can't retain what God is doing. And the reason is because we don't understand that the spirit will only stay if there is a sacrifice that keeps him. The sacrifice of love that keeps him. And so our general overseer died. And that was when that which was happening that we did not know came into lamplight. The competition, the infighting, the division, all kinds of stuff, it came into lamplight. And suddenly, the resources stopped coming. All that was left was the fight. The fight continued for more than 7 years. Before 7 years were accomplished, other people started dying mysteriously. And that was a sign that witches are taking over the pulpit.
Okay, let's stop there. Let's stop.
What you raise as an altar today for God can become an altar where witches operate. If men are not taught how to access the covenant of the house. All kinds of things happen, which is not for this time. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, you will see the second thing that was done. The move was on. Peter was able to discern the season and to give an accurate explanation of what happened on the day of Pentecost. The move was challenged subsequently. Persecution came. God regrouped his people in Antioch in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. And then there was now an instruction. This is the direction I'm going. Are you with me? The direction for that move was given in Acts chapter 13. The mobilization to sustain the move and the sacrifice is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 48. They continue steadfastly. That was the sacrifice to keep the move. And we have kept that sacrifice for 10 years. And the very thing that the apostles did to keep the move operational. Whether you like it or not, there's a portal. There's an opening from here into heaven. This place, this hall. Even if you don't pray, if we give you this mic, you'll be anointed. Here. Because. Hallelujah. Several people that came here to minister, and they just mounted the pulpit and, ooh! They now went somewhere else to try the same thing. Didn't work. It's a difference in atmosphere. Now, so these guys in the book of Acts chapter 13 were privileged because there were so many distractions in Jerusalem. People began to ask for food, murmurings. The move was really, really affected. God allowed the persecution to come. He regrouped his people and then started another center in Antioch. It's in Antioch we now get the instruction, the direction that the move was going. Meanwhile, these were the things that Jesus said. Jesus said it, but now it was playing out and people could not revert back to the utterances of Jesus. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. Where? In Jerusalem. In what? In Judea. In Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. So at this time, it was time for the uttermost part of the earth to be reached. And then God gave an instruction to show the direction of the move. This is where moves die. People are not patient enough with God to understand where he's going. And then they bask in some messy drops and they never get to experience the rain. The direction came, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Now, these were apostles that were being commissioned to take the gospel beyond the enclave of the Jews into the regions of the Gentiles. This was the first time that kind of an administration was taking place. It was the direction where the Spirit of God was moving. But these guys needed to stay in Antioch to generate enough capacity in the spirit in order for them to find sufficient favor with God to get the direction. So the move will be sustained if direction is acquired. Hallelujah. So we've been doing this one for 10 years. It is possible at some point, if we don't get direction from God and we continue doing this, that the Holy Ghost will leave us. Because he has a covenant with us, he will maintain our civilization within the context of that covenant. Meanwhile, we have capacity to go beyond that. We could not enter into it because we did not understand the times. Where God is going, I've seen it too many times. God is demanding outreach from us. Outreach. It's a season. It's not as if we stop doing what we're doing, but in addition to what we're doing, we're going out. We're going out. Whenever direction begins to come, are you with me? It means that God wants to extend the move to the place that he intended. And from what I saw in my visions, it is the north. He's going northwards. And so he gave some instructions while we're doing the fasting and prayer. He said, go light the northern candle. And then the first meeting I'm having in the north is Zaria, and it's a crusade. Hunan went there. And the Lord came down. We preached in one service. Almost 800 people gave their life to Christ in one service. When the people began to move, I thought it was riot. The heads. Never seen that before. And when we invoked the power of God, all kinds of things began to take place. Then I knew that, hey, my God, I asked God for mercy. Because I asked him for mercy. I hope we have not missed the timing. Hey, Jesus. All kinds of things, all kinds of miracles began to take place. And because I prayed, I said, God, if what you are saying is outreach, show us a sign. Show us a sign. You know, I've not been on the field for a very long time. Show that you are with us. And it was strange. Strange. I had to off my phone because the calls were too much. It's not about, you see, they are seeing the wrong things. What they are seeing is a great man that showed up. But you see, a great man is different from a man that is aligned with the grace of the time. What was responsible for the rise of that evangelist was that he was aligned with the grace of the time. That's how God raises great people. Hallelujah. There was a young man from Uganda there. He traced us and came for the crusade. And, Jesus. I tell you, the second night, I've never experienced that before. We're driving to the crusade ground, and I felt a hand laid on my head like this. So I felt it was the roof of the car. I checked up. I saw that the roof of the car was high. The hand came again. Jesus. We went out there, and the testimonies are still coming in of all kinds of things that happened. Organs that were changed. Blood, people's blood that were new blood. Strange things happened. People that vomited. You saw those people vomiting all kinds of things. Miracles. In signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Breaking out on a large scale. If we didn't count where, then the people are 7,000. If we didn't count where. I said, oh my, that's where we are going. That's where you are going. And you see, the doors for crusades in different parts of the north are open. Yesterday it was Yola. Yola brought their invitation. We'll be going to Yola to strike the ground. It's time to go out with the Lord. The Bible says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I had. And God had told them about it. A time will come where you'll be separated unto it. They were preparing themselves. Preparing themselves. And when the direction came, they jumped into it. It was when Paul entered into that direction that he saw grace upon his life. There are many things upon your life that will be kept under lock and key until you get direction. Direction is what multiplies grace upon your life. Meanwhile, that's the platform that most of the leading ministers in this country have preached on. I don't want to call names. But you know what? The organizers of the platform told me for the past 10 years what happened when your ministers don't happen. Now, not because I'm better than the people that came there before me. That is the season. Hallelujah. If you are aligned with it, God can make any vessel to become a lead vessel. And remember, the resources will go in the direction that what the Spirit. Mommy, what we saw there was crazy. That one then was so that our heart can come up. The other one, this one was crazy. So crazy that we finished the meeting. Then the people that were praying behind the scene, and I now went to bless them. And oh Jesus, it was. So the elders were convinced that it was not luck. They were convinced that this is not luck. This is. Then we now went into the heart of Islam, where the altar was. But if you come into the atmosphere, you will sense resistance. Oh my God. And our corporate collective prayer from every part of the country, every part of the world, when he gathered together, that thing that was there, he went back on his own accord. He went back. The atmosphere opened. I cursed the altar. You know, you fight sometimes, you bring salvation. People will be saved here, then you kill. That's what the season says. If the kingdom of God will be extended, then men will have to go out now. At any point in time that we slack, God will choose another set of people to be at the front of what he wants to do. Because I said that God's purposes are constant, but his men can't change. We are going to pray. The prayer is simple, that God will embody, because right now most of us are not even compassionate about the lost. You don't sense it. You just like fellowshipping with other believers, which is what we have done for the past 10 years. Fellowship has been strong. And we are still building it, but it has been strong to some extent. And a true spiritual family is being forged. Hallelujah. Now we need to test our mettle. We need to test them. I saw territorial spirits, principalities. Oh my God. I saw how weak they were. When you finish on the crusade ground, you go to sleep, you are contending. You are fighting in the spirit. Bringing down things. Hallelujah. You wake up, you check. They knew I was there. But you know what? The prayers had accumulated for 10 years. So it was difficult to conquer. It was difficult to conquer. Now we are going out. The spirit of the Benue has to fall. Now, I listened to Pa Elton's teachings. And when I began to listen to it, I saw what was lost. How come those teachings are not popular? Because the man said it all. He said it all. I never knew he was such a Holy Ghost man. Full of fire. Full of fire. And he gave direction to this nation. The church of the land decided to derail from the direction he gave. And his burden was clear. His word from God was clear. And he lived and died, prophesying that a day will come when an army will rise. That there is a metaphor that is depictive of the church that God will formulate in Nigeria. It will be an army. He spoke about several things that people are contending with doctrinally right now. He gave perspective on those things many years ago. In fact, I had to cross-check what we are doing with the things he uttered. And with all glory to God, I found out we are accurate. The time has come. And we are going to the field to make Jesus known again. You will not believe, but I went for a minister's conference. About 800 ministers were there, and I asked the question, who is Jesus? And there was no answer. You will not believe that. I know you say, pastor has come. Ministers come. In fact, somebody said, the reason why we came here is because we don't know. That's why we came for this conference. Ministers come. So what have we been teaching? Yes, I say, who is Jesus? Oh, but you are there now. Okay, you were not there that day. Oh, you were not there that day. Who is what? And what was the answer? The reason why we came here was to find out. We are going to pray. Because we are going out. That army is going out. You may not know what God can do through your life. Let us go out for him. And grace will come upon our lives. These are the days where we need to buy what they call those megaphone again. These are the days when we need to begin street crusades. These are the days when we need to start little outreaches. Right now, we need to be outborn, out-oriented. We need to be mission-minded. This is the time. Capacity building and intercession for 10 years. Now, we want to cause the spirits of the land to bow. We are going to pray for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, 10 minutes of prayer, the Holy Ghost will come down. But you see, the sons of Issachar, where there were men that understood the time. As long as we keep step with the Holy Spirit, the resources will come. The things required to implement his will will find expression. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Now, we're going to pray. The prayer is simple. You see, evangelism is not going out and knocking every door the way the Jehovah's Witness people do. That's not what it is. Because when you're going out, you have to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says that the labor of the fool wearieth every one of them because they knoweth not how to go into the city. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Lord added unto the church such as should be saved. There are several people that God has been actually dealing with. In their hearts, there are confusions, there are arguments, and those arguments were stirred by the Lord himself. And then he leads you to such people to clear their doubt. Now, this is what witnessing is, as I tried to explain in the last lecture that we held. Imagine that Jesus is in the dock. Jesus is brought to court. All right? There is a misunderstanding about Jesus in the heart of every man that is not yet saved. Witnessing is all about coming to bring evidences that Jesus is exactly the person he says he is, so that the doubts can be cleared. At the end of witnessing, someone should no longer be in doubt about who Jesus is. All right? Now, if you check the first evangelical message which Peter preached, he said a lot of things, he appealed to history, appealed to politics, appealed to many things, and he narrowed down his discussion, and he came to a point where he was able to actually set out the bait. When the bait went out, it was not so many concepts or so many philosophies. He said, "This Jesus, no man can be saved except there's an ingrained, innate revelation of God, of Jesus Christ, of his saving power, born in their heart. That is what makes the bogus soul to surrender in repentance. That is what makes the bogus soul that is so full of conflicting, argumentative knowledge to bow." Hallelujah. This Jesus. The idea is we are going out, and we'll keep going out and keep going out, ministering to people. Sometimes you may sow a seed. And when you sow a seed, it doesn't germinate that day. No problem. Leave the seed there. It becomes the basis upon which God will begin to operate. People have been still in this city for too long. Now we need to bring life where there is death. Everything that is going on right now provides so many more reasons why people should be afraid than for why people should be in faith. The recession, the poverty. Government is totally incapacitated. And people that received a false message are now discouraged. People that saw Jesus as a money doubler and as a God that gives false hope, they are frustrated because they see him as a God without an ability to perform. Jesus is on the dock. And we need men to bring witness and evidence that will clear him of the allegations and pedestal him as a governor among the nations. Hallelujah. The argument in the valley of decision must end. And all eyes must be directed to see the glory of God. I like men like Elijah. The way he did his own was, he is a ruffian. He's not too refined. It's all right. There's only one way we can cure this argument. The God that answers by fire, let him God. In his own evangelical message was to bring a contest. A contest that will reveal the inferiority of darkness. But every true evangelist, proclaimer of truth, must be able to present higher than every other mountain, higher than every other institution, the Colossus of Zion, the monarch of the heavens, Jesus. Now Satan goes all the way to ensure that his office is obscured, that his glory is not seen. For the Bible reveals that if our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost, of whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine on them. Principalities will labor because his light is eternal. If only you take a trip in the spirit, you will find out that there's no throne anywhere that is exalted as he is. In the spirit, even demons believe and they tremble. In the spirit, his identity is not given to contest, but in the natural, his throne is not known. His name is not hallowed. The work of the evangelist is to project this colossus, the king that sits in the city that is in Mount Zion, the place of the northern king. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray that God will bring upon our hearts again compassion for the lost. If we don't have that compassion, nothing will move you. You will not be, your heart will not be tender enough to be moved in this area. Compassion. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness, and yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses, and like horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains, and the noise of fire that devoured the stubble, like a people set in battle array. These are prophecies about a generation that will come out of obscurity and give perspective to all humankind. There's a lot of human worship, humanism in the nations of the world. And legislators and all of that across the nations are trying to institute humanism as a way of life. But an army rises. If I hear the prophecy of Pa Elton very clearly, it's an army that will rise out of the heart of Africa, out of a land that is known for corruption, to become a land of righteousness. Many of us seated here will not taste of death until we see this land transform. The land will not transform because a politician rises. It's because an army rises. A fire be devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. The Bible even says, "And they shall jump like mighty men. They shall run like men of war. They shall climb in. They shall climb in." You know, when somebody is climbing like a tactical man, they know how to climb into the thoughts of men and climb into the hearts of men and disarm them so that they can see the light of Jesus, that principalities and powers have been obscuring their heart from beholding. They say, when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. That's our true destiny. When we are there, when we are on that field, doesn't matter what the kingdom of darkness marches out, it will be ineffective, because we are born for this purpose. The seasons have provided grace to establish his will according to this path. And we are praying tonight for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, the Holy Ghost will come down here that the Lord might minister to our hearts. If compassion is not part of the operating system of that heart, it will be difficult for God to quicken you in the direction of one whose eternal destiny is not secure. We are sons of light. We are sent into a world of darkness. This is the reason for which we were raised, and this is the time for which we were born. Oh God, open our understanding. I know we have needs, we have prayer points, we have things we are trusting God to do, but our needs will be totally met when we seek to bring to pass the intent of God, for which he has bestowed so much grace. When we are aligned with it, the grace of God, walking through the wisdom of God, will ensure that your own need will be met. May the Lord begin to place upon our hands the body, the responsibility of members of our family that have not yet seen the light of glory, the light of salvation. Oh God, oh God, think about your own life, where you were before he met you. It will be wicked for us to now come into the fold and sit back, expecting the sovereignty of God to go out there
and bring men into the kingdom. This is the reason for which we were called to be foot soldiers in partnership with God, construct on the field of the harvest. It is time. God will do any miracle. He will perform any sign. He will carry out any wonder just to see to it that his son is exalted and men bow with repentance to accept his lordship. This is why we were born. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Eleto kobriata mansanda. Mayatos kembre helizai takuma. It's been 10 years, friends. 10 years. The remnant of his people taking root downward. It's time to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. God has, in his infinite mercy, taken us through the thick and the thin to present unto himself as a weapon, an army that will rise up and fight his wars and turn down the gates of hell. Ancient of days, we call upon you and we ask for empowerment. Empowerment. Give us the wisdom. Give us the wisdom. Give us the wisdom, Lord. Riasonta mahamba. Ambre ke same no koba. Halis elebrade. Simandahola batu alabaseka. This is the day for which we are apprehended in Christ Jesus. The day for which we were born. The day for which we were born again. Tela lele lo matia bakane bona. Haile mole salamon de neso balamana. Aha. Yeso bale so bale malako braha balamina. Hambre ke son de la minda la bola bo balakuna. Ye la polete pole masila mama. Jesus. Sami nombre skabena ko bala. Si mama le to baramene. E la komba le ma. Ela kolomina sima maye koma na samine. Ela komina soma ilala ye kore sabalabo. Reke la made. God Jesus. He kama yeto maladela baranasi malahona. Oh. Compassion. Compassion. Seeking to snatch men out of the fire. Doesn't matter how wicked they are. How lost in witchcraft and wickedness. If they still have a soul, then Jesus came to die for them. If our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost. Ela mina sobre ne que la manda. E aboresa ni na compre ne se le bona ma. Oh ho! 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 Sina de tabo bole nana malatemo. Sina kombre na sika mandele da balebo sa mama. Sele bote ma sele malie kama. Etele cosa mina kombre na la bona. Oh, 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 Ay mala tombre la candela. Oh ho. Oh ho oh, 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 oh. Oh ho. Oh ho. Hey, 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 hey. We seek empowerment from the Spirit. We seek empowerment from the Lord. We ask for His mercies. We ask for His grace. We ask for His help. Senina tombele saila moge barina. Samina sobre kaila monte malada bomana. Ele bote la bina kambele ba 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 mele. Sai le bo, sai la male ba 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 le shomana. Oh ho, oh ho 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 ho. Oh, 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 leke ma dele kumbala, Jesus. When you go out, you will not go empty. The Lord shall go before you. His spirit shall go ahead of you. His hand shall be with you. He will confirm your words. He will confirm your words with sign. Bereko benali keteba. Kaleto barakan se malada. Oh, tama mama mama ye. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Kabarasi makandebo. Pareso kabalatu alaba zebrahi. Laito balanis kabre. Kovalanso mina kande. Kabere kosa mahanda babore. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Before I sit down, now the Lord said He will give us the gift of healing, the ability to heal the sick, so that we will not go out empty-handed. We have testimonies. Testimony. In Jesus' name.
he will put his power. Chief, I don't know about you. I'm ready to go with the gospel from my neighborhood to the IBB square. I'm ready. The gift of healing is coming. The gift of healing is coming strong. Can you receive that gift? Can you receive it? Can you receive the gift? We are not going out empty-handed. We are not going out empty-handed. We are going with power. And when we begin to meet God's need, then you will see how gracious He is to meet your need. He will do much more than what you are asking. Because we are in the center of His will, serving His will, satisfying His own need. So He will take us beyond our expectation. That's how He works. You see, the heavens are open. Now, I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. Can you be calm? Just be calm. Just be calm. Just be calm. Just be calm. When the time came for me to get married, in my family, if you don't get married to our tribe, the implication is that nobody will fight you, but they will not support you. And so I knew what it meant. So I saved money. Saved money to prosecute the wedding. That was when this land came out. So the money I saved, I had to go into that account. Guess what? God sponsored the wedding. You see, the direction the spirit is going, resources, God. 6 million was spent for that wedding. 6 million. I don't have 6 million. This land was not 6 million. Meanwhile, I did not pay for the whole land. God raised somebody else. We partnered together. Paid for it. But it was something that God took notice of. It was an excuse. And when my own need then came into view, God did more. And that's what I'm saying. When we make ourselves available, that your house. I don't know what vision you have, but when God wants to do it, it will be more than what you are desiring. That's how God works. Resources flow in the direction of the Spirit. Now, the Lord said He will give the gift of healing so that we will not go out empty-handed. I want to pray for you before I sit down. Father, in the name of Jesus.